We heard our first reading just a couple of weeks ago at the Christmas Vigil Mass. Isaiah proclaims, "I will not keep silent," as he offers his desires and prayers for the salvation of Israel. His offering prefigures the reason that Christ came to us on Christmas Day, to offer us salvation. Then today we hear the reading again, and it is because Christ begins his ministry of salvation, which will be completed with his passion, resurrection, and ascension. Both Isaiah and Jesus desired and prayed that God's people be in communion with each other, and most importantly, in communion with God. In today's gospel, Mary said, "They have no wine." This was true, not only due to their lack of physical wine, but also the lack of the wine that truly satisfies. When Jesus changed the water into wine at Cana, an extraordinary transformation of the world began. The means for purification from evil of the world would be transformed from symbolic washing to sharing in the blood of Christ. For the wine came from the jars used for ceremonial washing. But the blood of Christ is not simply a symbol or a ceremony. The washing that the blood of Christ brings can truly cleanse people from all sin. As we receive communion, we are participating in this transformation of the world. When we receive communion, we are united to him who died on the cross for us. We receive communion every week, and we have to be careful that we never make receiving communion just a routine. We need to remind ourselves that every reception of the Eucharist is a union with our crucified Savior, whose blood has defeated the power of evil, not only in the world, but also in each of us. All of us, myself included, need to reflect more on what we're doing when we come up to communion, and reflect on what it means to be in communion. We cannot allow what is truly extraordinary to become ordinary. Before Jesus performed the miraculous transformation, he responded to his mother saying, "My hour has not yet come." Then he changes the water to wine, not any wine, but the best wine. Jesus offers the best wine. But when Jesus's hour does come, he is offered sour wine on the cross. Through his suffering, he transforms what is sour to what is best. He takes on our sins. We give to him what is sour, and he offers us Holy Communion in the Eucharist and living in Holy Communion for eternity with him, his Father, and his Holy Spirit. He offers us the greatest gift, salvation, in eternal communion with God. To help us and to serve the kingdom of God in our journey towards salvation, Jesus, with God the Father and his Holy Spirit, offers us other gifts, spiritual gifts. St. Paul, in our second reading, lists some of these gifts, 9 special graces, charisms. which is the expression of wisdom, the expression of knowledge, faith, healing, mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment of spirits, varieties of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These charisms are different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we know are seven. We have wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fear, counsel, piety, and fortitude. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But these charisms, these are manifestations of God's presence and power, supernatural powers by which we allow ourselves to be instruments of God. We don't own the gifts. God decides which gifts we should have, and we should take no credit for what God has freely given us. We need to be ready and open to God's divine influence, allowing Him to exercise and apply the gifts through us. And we need to sharpen and use these gifts of God. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is how it is listed in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In other words, each person is given the Spirit for usefulness, and spiritual gifts have a very pragmatic purpose. They build community. This is the difference between the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit and the nine charismatic gifts. The seven gifts are given by the Spirit for the building up of the individual, of his or her relationship with God. And the charismatic gifts are the graces of the Holy Spirit, which either directly or indirectly benefit the church, building her up to the good of men and to the needs of the world. The charismatic gifts are graces given so that each person can do something for the community, to build communion with each other, with Christ's church, and with God. It is this communion which is transformational. Our church today is very diverse in language, in tradition, in rites, in culture. And we accept diversity, for our God is diverse. We have three persons in one God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're diverse, but united, in communion with one another. Our church, in communion as the body of Christ, accepts diversity, but cannot accept division. We, like Isaiah, cannot keep silent. Guided by Christ and his church, we must express our desires and our prayers for all God's people. In the unity of Christ's mystical body, we must accept, exercise, apply, and develop God's gifts, and thus Him operating through us, we can transform ourselves, our community, our city, our state, our nation, our world.